Hello, and welcome back to the Irish Tennis Updates podcast. My name's Adam, your host. This episode, I've been chatting to Owen Collins. Owen is a former Irish Davis Cup player. He also represented Ireland at the Olympics two times in Seoul and in Barcelona, playing doubles with Owen Casey. And more recently, Owen is the current world champion in the over 55s ITF World Championships. He also was the world champion over 45s a few years ago. In this episode, we chat all about these experiences in tennis for Owen, about his recent success at the World Championships, about his days playing for Ireland, and also his days in college tennis in the States. I think this is a really interesting chat. I hope you'll enjoy it. And here we go. Here's Owen. Okay, Owen. Well, thanks very much for coming on the podcast. How are things with you?
They're good, Adam. Thanks for inviting me.
Yeah, no worries at all. No worries at all. Okay, so just to hop in then, Owen, if you could choose any superpower, what superpower would you choose and why?
Yeah, Adam, so the superpower I would choose would be endurance. And the reason I would pick endurance, it's maybe a different one, is because I play in the 55s Masters events, and nobody has any power. So whoever's the fittest can last the longest. Usually comes out the best in the end, and the person who avoids injury. So I would like to be have endless endurance.
Very good. Good answer. Just to hop in, I know over the summer you became the world champion over 55s, the World Championships out in Portugal. Looked like a pretty, I guess, comfortable week from your point of view. You looked like you weren't in too much trouble in many of the matches. Just maybe just walk me through a little bit how that week unfolded and how your experience was out there.
Well, it may have looked like it was straightforward, but as you know, in these large kind of stressful tournaments, it's anything but. And a big part of trying to be successful in an event that's 128 people is to get through the matches as quickly and as efficiently as possible. So, I aged up this year in the 55 age group. So I try to be as efficient as possible and spend as little time on the court. But the matches themselves were all very tough, beyond the very early draw. It was... It went well.
Yeah. And I'm just really interested to hear about how the kind of whole system works with the Masters, all the different age groups. So I guess one question would be, how big a difference did you notice from playing 50s to playing 55s this year? Like, what would be a level difference from each of those age groups up?
Yeah, tremendous difference. So they're in 5-year increments, and I think it's pretty safe to say that people are aging really well these days. But, in each of the age groups, I think 50s was the first age group when I really noticed a kind of a drop off. But there's still some very, very good players. Typically what happens as on the men's side, shoulders are not as strong. So, in the 40s, you still see some big serves. In the 50s, less so. In the 55s, not so much. So those type of things. I'll see you slow down a little bit more in the 55s. I did notice some of the opponents didn't move as well as some of the 50s, who still move remarkably well.
Yeah, definitely. And just, I guess, in terms of the system, I mean, people will be, probably quite aware of, say, the ITF Juniors, ITF, World Tour. Like, how is it, would it be structured in the seniors in terms of how many events would there be? How would the calendar look? Like, any kind of factors like that you'd be aware of now being in the system?
Oh, yeah, it's very similar, and it becomes much busier as people age, like myself, empty nesters, kids out of the house, started playing again in the 40s, and the events start to really get a lot larger in 45s, 50s, 55s. I think probably the biggest draws are maybe the 60s, 65s, and then maybe more injuries drop off. But there's a full year-long calendar. You could play as much as you want, or you could just, pick and choose like this. There is a qualifying draw for the World Championships, which is the event that I won. but there's no standard of play you have to have. It's completely open.
So I guess from your point of view, obviously still playing to a really good level, how does kind of tennis fit into your life these days? Do you play a lot of these events? How does it look for you kind of day to day?
Well, this year I played a lot more because, as I said, I aged up to the 55s, and you know, my youngest just finished grad school and started her job, so we were completely empty nesters. So I had a little more time this year. So in the 45s, I did win the World Championships, and I haven't had as much time since then to focus on it. So this year, I actually played five events to get ready. So I still play a lot. I live, you know, just beside a clay court at my front door. So I play 3 days a week, maybe four. Still enjoy it very much.
Brilliant. And how might you look, or what would your plans be over the next, year, couple of years, still playing world champs, or how far ahead would you be thinking at this stage?
Yeah, so next year it's my event, the 55s, and also the 50s and 60s are in Mexico City. So I'm still competitive next year. There's three guys who are very good, who age up, who were, you know, top 100 ATP players when they were younger, that if they play are very stiff competition. But I have a shot, and I like playing at altitude, which is Mexico City. It's hard to breathe there. It's very fast. So I'm going to try and play that next May. Beyond that, you know, a couple of guys who are a little younger than I'm less competitive with. So as I get deeper into the age group, probably play a little less.
Yeah, sure. And I'm just interested in how you kind of started playing these I know these kind of say ITF senior events. I know that you were successful, as you said, in 45s as well, a few years ago, winning that one. So I guess that was earlier on. How did you start playing these ITF events?
Sure. So my profession is I'm a corporate banker, and if you go back 15 years ago, we had this thing called the Great Recession. So it was quite stressful working in banking around then. And I stumbled across these events, and you know, it was a great kind of stress reliever to re-engage in tennis and competitive tennis. And you know, it's a healthy pastime, and reconnected with a lot of people I knew from juniors in college, and you know, the satellites and challengers. So enjoyed it very much, and kind of been at it probably the last maybe 13 years or so.
So before that, was there kind of a period where you were less active in tennis for a number of years, and then you kind of this helped you pick it back up, or were you kind of pretty consistently playing it, kind of keeping your level, throughout?
Yeah, sure. So, you know, I played college tennis over here, and then I played about a year and a half on the ATP. You know, it was about 320 in doubles, 460 in singles, and then I went back to grad school. And soon after I started work, we had our kids, so I was pretty busy with the kids. Now my oldest, he's a pretty good player. My second son was good, so I was still playing, but it was really kind of training them. And you know, as they got kind of more independent, then I had time to kind of get back into a little competitive play myself. So.
Yeah, no, brilliant. And maybe just to take a step back then a little bit. Obviously, I know that you're from Ireland originally, but speaking to you now, definitely get a strong American twinge. So, what's kind of the kind of I guess your kind of brief story from growing up in Ireland and in the States now, and obviously still in tennis. So, how does that all look briefly?
Yeah, so I grew up in Sutton. That's where I played my tennis in North Dublin, and came over to the US, Indiana University, when I was 17. And I've pretty much been here since then. So, what's that, 38 years? Obviously, coming and going a lot because two brothers in Ireland, my father's still there. But, you know, you know, the college tennis circuit here was very strong, very good preparation. And then, you know, I had an American education, so I kind of rolled into a corporate banking job over here, and I've been doing it since. So that's the background.
Good, very good. And just from, I guess, those days growing up in Sutton and playing there, what memories do you have of kind of the Irish tennis scene and playing juniors and yeah, like, you know, all the people that you would have known through that? How do you look back on those days?
Oh, there was fantastic. So, there's great circuit in Ireland, really, really taught you kind of how to be competitive, how to compete, because we had so many tournaments week to week over the summer. Great other people I grew up with. My younger brother Rob, very good player too. He played over here at Rice. My older brother Richard and Colm. Richard still plays at Fitzwilliam. Colm plays in Sutton. So we all played. It was great fun and great people I met. Yeah, it was a great experience.
And just in terms of, I guess, maybe Irish tennis and how it's structured, to look now, you're more involved in the States. What big differences or similarities would you notice from those kind of two systems of tennis?
Yeah, so growing up as I did in the late 70s, early 80s in Ireland, we really didn't have a good depth of technical expertise in teaching the game. I think that's probably there now. Maybe some of the guys I grew up with are quite good coaches. One that's over here and back, Joe O'Dwyer, really is outstanding, his understanding of technique. So I think the resources here are a little different, and depending on where you are in the US, the climate and, so, but I wouldn't say even the US is the best place to learn your tennis these days. There's better. This country's too big, too spread out. It's very hard to get all the best players together consistently. So I think that's why you see the best players still come from Europe at this point.
Yeah, no, that's interesting. I guess if you were to try and maybe change one thing about how tennis is done in, I guess, maybe in the States, firstly, well, what might you try and change to improve that, improve the tennis overall?
Yeah, well, I think it's the technique. When you're learning, when you're young, you probably need to learn on a high bouncing court. And while they have good, hard courts here, I don't think it's particularly good for you learning tennis on a hard court because it's too much stress on your body. What I would change is I would have everybody learn to play tennis on clay, on a high bouncing, how to hit the ball properly on the court, and
Definitely.
how to maintain your balance and how to push off properly. Whereas, on some other courts, it's easy. If it's a fast court, you can use the ball that's coming at you, the pace, and redirect it, as opposed to when you're learning right on a clay court, you're learning to generate the pace yourself.
Yeah, no, definitely makes a lot of sense. I think that's kind of something that's slowly starting to happen, I guess, here in Ireland with more clay courts and maybe more kind of coaching like you were mentioning. So hopefully those things are coming into place, hopefully.
Yeah, that'd be great because I think that would really help.
And I guess just on that note, so when you then went across to college in the States, when I guess I think you mentioned you were 17 at the time, how big of a change was that for you from just from a tennis point of view of I mean, obviously playing to a really good level in Ireland, but how much of a shift and a change was that for you coming over to the States?
Yeah, it was very good because there was great facilities, there was a dedicated coach, there was other good players, so and there was constant competition. My days in Ireland was mainly playing in the summer. The competitive calendar kind of dropped off after that, so this was playing all year round, pretty much every week. So it was very, very intense, very good. I was a little younger, than the people I was playing against. I probably would have been better served to be a year or two older. So I, from that perspective, I came in, not that strong, but my last year or so in college, I was, pretty strong. So,
Yeah,
yeah.
and just from that time in college, what would be a couple of the best memories that would kind of stand out to you looking back?
Yeah, so probably my last year, I made the final of our the Big Ten conference tournament. So we had a very strong conference. So a couple of the guys, maybe you don't remember the names, like Malachi Washington, he made the final of Wimbledon. Todd Martin, he made three Grand Slam singles finals. So we were a very deep conference, very, very good players. So yeah, that was a pretty good result coming kind of second that year in the conference.
Yeah. And then I guess you come to the end of your time in college, and what's the kind of landscape looking like for you then? I know that you played pro for a little while and obviously got into working in other areas. So how did you kind of transition from leaving college?
Yeah, so again, I was pretty young finishing, 21, and it started out pretty good. I won a couple of futures. Well, at the time they were called satellites. I won a challenger in Japan, and then I had a little disappointment though. I lost in the last round of Wimbledon qualifying, and I lost in the last round of U.S. Open qualifying. So both in the same year. So that was a little discouraging. So at that point, so it was about a year and a half into it, I decided, it was time to get on with another chapter in my life. But in reality, I probably could have stuck with it, maybe done probably a little better than I did. But it was a good ride while I was on it.
Yeah, and I guess when you were playing at that stage, what was the balance like, singles versus doubles? I know that maybe we'll come on and touch on kind of Olympics and things like that, and that I know that you played doubles in those. So was were you, I guess, would have had a higher ranking in doubles, but how did you view the two of those kind of during your playing days?
Sure. Doubles I was a lot better than singles. It was a little easier because what we were talking about earlier, the way we learned tennis, we were playing on artificial grass, low bouncing ball, volley a lot, serve well. So doubles was fairly easy. I had a good partner. He ended up when I didn't play, he ended up being a semifinalist at the U.S. Open. But really, I wasn't all that super interested in just being a doubles player. Either the singles thing was going to work out, or it wasn't. And at that point, I'd kind of been, So it was time to move on. And I really didn't have kind of the ground strokes to compete kind of at the level that it would have taken at that point in time. And I wasn't really prepared to kind of, invest the time of what it would take to do it. So.
Sure. And just I guess from that time, I know that you had a few years playing Davis Cup for Ireland. So prior to that, how much of something in your mind would that have been growing up and in your kind of time in college? Would that always have been something that you really kind of aspired to achieve?
Oh yeah, that was the pinnacle of everything. So, growing up in Sutton, super dialed into watching the Davis Cup. At the time, we had super successful Sean Sorensen, and then Matt Doyle came, and they had some great teams. So it was really exciting. To play Davis Cup was enormous, and then the opportunity to play in the Olympics, played with doubles with Owen Casey. We qualified the first time. Second time we were in the main draw because our rankings were high enough. They were fabulous memories and so exciting. And we had some really great Davis Cup matches. Good wins, tough losses, but a lot of fun and great memories.
Yeah, I guess on that Davis Cup side, do any particular matches or ties stand out to you? And maybe home matches versus away matches as well, and any good matches in fits or anywhere in Dublin, for example.
Oh yeah, a whole bunch of them. I mean, there was so many. The disappointing ones were, the time we were 2 love up against Romania. We would have played Great Britain at home if we'd won. I won my first match in 5 sets. I think Peter Wright won the second match, and then we ended up losing the doubles in both of these. So that was really disappointing. But another great one was we played Kenya. At the time, Paul Wekesa was, I think he was 65 in the world, and I beat him in straight sets in Fitzwilliam. So that was That was fun. Away wins are very difficult in Davis Cup. Trying to think of some of the away wins we would have had with some good away losses. We played Morocco really tough when they had El Aanawy and yeah, so yeah, great memories.
Yeah, definitely. And I guess to, you mentioned in terms of Davis Cup that massive difference home versus away, that that big advantage being at home. I don't know how closely you follow, say Davis Cup these days with the new format, but do you have any thoughts on how that's done these days, or if that's a good move, bad move?
Well, mixed feelings. I loved the old format. I thought it was great. But one of my pet peeves about tennis is that it's too long and it's too hard, A, for the players and B, for anyone watching. So, I understand why you want to get rid of the five sets. I love the ATP doubles format, no ad, third set, super tiebreak. What I think is really missing is the home and away. And I'm not sure if I know Ireland just had a good win over El Salvador. So I guess in that group, there's still the home and away aspect, is there?
Yeah,
Yeah, there.
and yeah, yes, and actually, we do have a home tie next February as well, which is our first home tie, and it'll be about 10 years by then. So excited for that!
10 years.
Yeah,
Wow.
yeah. So I think
You know,
yeah, playing. Yeah.
I was on the tail end of that. I think the last time I played was it was a week long event in Kenya, and
Yeah.
it just didn't have the same excitement as some of those earlier matches did. But that being said, one time we played Ukraine, and I remember the doubles that I played. I think we lost 22-20 in the fifth. So the time it was like a 6.5 hour match. I mean, who wants to come and watch that? It's too long. And I mean, I didn't want to even play a 6.5 hour match. So who's going to want to watch that?
Is that yeah, there's definitely pros and cons either way, but as you say, definitely something with the home and away is something key to keep, and it's obviously exciting for us to have our home tie next year on that.
Yeah, well, I mean, to inspire kind of the generation to come along next, you really need those ties to see. I can clearly remember the first time going to watch Davis Cup, and I think maybe Tommy Burke was warming up. Rest his soul, he passed a couple of years ago, and I just couldn't believe how smoothly he hit the ball. And that was the first time I'd ever seen someone that good, and they weren't even the top players. It was Sean Sorensen. So it's really helpful. Tennis is a game best seen live rather than on TV. So if you can bring top tennis to people, it's great.
Definitely, definitely. And to move on maybe to Olympics, which you mentioned there, I know you played twice in the Olympics for Ireland, doubles with Owen Casey. So maybe that first one I believe was in Seoul. So maybe just to mention a little bit about how those few weeks were, and even the lead up, and when you found out you were going to be playing. Like how were the emotions in the lead up to the event?
Yeah, so that was a really big deal because at the time I was still in college. I would have been just finished my third year. So, we really kind of petitioned Tennis Ireland at the time, hey, can we play the qualifying event? So, myself and Owen played, and I think Peter Wright played with someone else. We went to Lillehammer, Norway. We actually beat a really good team from Finland, Leo Palin. Believe it was. Oh no, maybe Olli Raunisto, and it was a big deal to qualify. So that was a huge deal for us to get there. So, we went to Seoul. Obviously, I didn't know much about Korea at the time. Obviously, it's a hugely successful country now. I know a great deal more about them now. But it was a hard court event, and we played Amos Mansdorf and Gilad Blum. I mean, Gilad Blum was a good player by himself, maybe top 100, but Mansdorf had just come off the US Open where he'd lost in the last 16 to Lendl, who lost
Oh,
in the
yeah.
final.
Yeah.
So, but Owen and I played really well. We won a set, I believe, and but they were they were just stronger than us. They were older and more accomplished players. So, but it was a great experience to be there.
Yeah. So I guess obviously, Olympics, is going to be an incredible event. All the sports, all the countries. How kind of was the vibe around the place for those couple of weeks outside of the directly on the tennis? How was the rest of the experience?
It was great. I was there for both the Ben Johnson gold medal. I was on the, right down on the track there. Saw him win it, and then we heard the next day that he lost. I saw Flojo win in 10-4-7 in the 100, and that record I think still stands. So we made an effort to go out and see a lot of the other events. And that was a little different to the second time I went, where I think we were more competitive. Owen actually got into the singles, which was interesting too. We had a really good win in Barcelona in the first round. We beat Lavalle, who had made the final at Wimbledon that year, and I think he thought he played with Maciel, who was also a very good player. I may be wrong. It was a while ago, so then we played, Lasic and Rosset, and they were the number one seeds. They'd won the French, but they didn't win the doubles gold. But Rosset won the singles gold, and we played them kind of tough. Three good sets, but they were very good. But we'd worked really hard. We played very well, and we were right there with them. So,
Yeah, oh, brilliant. And how much do you remember of kind of reaction in Ireland from those matches and maybe friends, family, wider tennis kind of community? How much do you remember of it being a big deal?
well, I'm not sure if it was a big deal, but people were very nice and people were very supportive, and I think they were happy that we had players in the event, and it was a good achievement for Irish tennis, and I like to think maybe the way Sorensen and Doyle inspired us, maybe some of the great Irish players that came after that, maybe it contributed to inspiring them a little bit to go on to great things. I know Scott Barron played with Owen in the Atlanta Olympics, so Scott was a fantastic player. Really strong, and then
Yeah,
maybe some of the players that came after that also.
I'm sure they were. I'm sure they were. And just another question there. So on Davis Cup, I know we've mentioned that a little bit. And just by looking through some of the kind of timeline of results, I noticed that you played in 2004 Davis Cup after a few years of not playing. So how did that come about to be back on the team that year? And how was that week?
Yeah, that was kind of out of the blue. That summer, I had gone over with my younger brother Rob just to see our parents for, 2 weeks and play a little tennis. So I played kind of Carrick Mines, and I think I might have lost in the 35 and over, which wasn't very good, but I hadn't been playing much. And then we played the doubles, and we did fine. And then the next week was the Irish Open in Temple Oak, and I ended up getting to the final of that, even though I was whatever 35, lost to Conor Nyland. So I think that was it. So then later that summer, I'd qualified somehow for the Masters. So I came back for like a 4-day tournament, and I think I won that. And so the next year, they said, "Hey, we're short of a doubles player. Would you like to come back and play?" Yeah, I came back. I think it was a Hungary match, and played doubles with Mullins. We played very well, and we lost in five. But yeah, so I was happy that someone thought I could contribute, and we almost got the job done, but fell a little short at the end.
Yeah, no, good stuff. That's definitely cool to have another experience after you probably had thought that your Davis Cup days were behind at
Oh
that
yeah.
stage, but it'd be cool to have another chance.
Yeah, they had given me a little plaque, 7 or 8 years earlier, that thanks for playing. Didn't expect me to be back.
Yeah, good stuff. Good stuff. And just there's a couple more questions, Owen, before
Sure.
Just a few more. So often I might ask people about maybe advice for junior players, younger players coming through. But maybe to ask you might be advice for people a little bit older, maybe people that are 30s, 40s, maybe they have stopped playing tennis so much or not playing very much. Well, what kind of advice might you have to maybe encourage people to keep playing as they do get a bit older?
Well, I think the reason to keep playing are it's a wonderful way to maintain social relationships. There's a lot of opportunities to interact with people, whether it's playing in events, playing in league, reconnecting with people. I enjoy that very much. So, and when you're playing these things, you naturally want to do your best. So it gives you a little discipline about trying to take care of yourself, maybe a little more than maybe you would otherwise. So I think there's a ton of benefits, and then staying connected to the sport is good.
Yeah, well, did you have one secret to share from the last few years that you might have learned that when you're continuing to play at a high level?
Well, I think you've got to really take care of yourself, and there's so much. What I enjoy now is there's so much great content out there. I mean, your podcast is a good one, but there's so many podcasts out there, and so many YouTube videos and TikTok or whatever your channel you like it on. I just. Even from helping my kids years ago, that the content that's available now, that's easy, accessible, you can really make dramatic improvements. And I think you're never too old. You can always keep learning and keep improving and
Yeah.
keep growing.
Very good. Very good. And just maybe to finish up, Owen, a few quick fire questions just to go through. So I'll give you kind of a question and first thing that comes into your head.
Okay.
Your favorite shot.
My backhand.
Any backhand in particular? Backhand line, backhand.
Oh, you got to go cross court.
Let's go
Cross
backhands.
court.
Sounds good. Your favorite tournament that you've played at?
Yeah, so my favorite event that I've got to play probably isn't well known in Ireland, but there's a circuit in the United States for father son. There's also father daughter or mother son, mother daughter.
Yeah.
And these are really fun tournaments. And I played with my son who played in college, and we played the grass, we played the clay, we played the hard courts, but I particularly love the clay court event. And if I could do any other tournament again, it'd be the father son clay court event with him.
Very good. If you can keep it within the family, good stuff.
Yes.
And what about your favorite tournament to watch, kind of as a fan?
French Open.
Yeah, clay. Yeah, the clay being big factor there.
Yeah, just the variety of shots. I don't think you have it on the other surfaces. Yeah, French Open is,
Yeah.
I think, the fairest. When I was a junior, the rackets and the strings and the technology weren't good enough that it was a good enough game. But now, it plays as fast as some of the surfaces played 30 years ago. I mean, the quality of the tennis is just remarkable.
Yeah, definitely. And what about your favorite player?
I don't have a favorite player. I love watching so many of them, men and women. I mean, I think, it's really kind of almost favorite shot. Who do you favorite move or favorite attitude on the court? So there's so many, and
Yeah, no, good answer. Good answer. And just finally, your favorite thing about tennis?
Well, that it's a sport for life, and all the opportunities it's given me, and all the people I've met, and all the places I've gone, and all the enjoyment I've got watching it, and been around it.
Yeah, brilliant. Absolutely. So listen, Owen, just a big thanks again for the time to come on for the chat. Yeah, it was great to hear about all the good experiences you've had in tennis and obviously big well done on the recent Masters wins, and best of luck for the ones coming up next year and so on. So yeah, no, big thanks again.
Thank you, Adam. and enjoyed being on your podcast. Thank you.
And a big thanks once again to Owen for his time coming on for a chat. I hope you found that enjoyable and inspiring. If you did enjoy the episode, please consider sharing it around to anyone else you think might enjoy it, leaving a comment or a review on the episode as well. I hope you're getting out there playing some tennis. And until next time, I've been Adam, and goodbye.